It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Trey, thank you for joining us for a Thursday edition of our podcast, which I very much look forward to. It is question and answer day. It is also a day that I get to visit with Mary Langston. I do get to talk to her some other days from time to time, but I'm always consistently on Thursdays. And so therefore I look forward to that. And my wife, they're the two kindest people in the world mentioned in the same sentence. I think this might be her favorite podcast of the two I do. So I'll try to do a good job for her too.
Well, that is very kind of her to say that. I'm glad she listens. And I know she loves listening to what you're going to say with your answers and all that fun stuff and some shout outs. Of course, she loves the attention. I know she doesn't, but I'm just kidding.
She does not like attention.
She doesn't like it at all. She's probably going to cringe when she hears this part, but we do love you, Terry. And thank you for listening.
What I tell her is if God did not want you to have attention, he would not have made you look the way you look. So you've got to take that up with him.
Well, anyway, we have a lot of great questions today. It's a little bit of a range. So are you ready to get started?
I think so. I don't have a lot of variety in terms of my knowledge base, but so it makes me a little nervous when you say it's wide ranging. I try to stick to sports, but let's find out. Let's see.
We'll see. And we will end with some sports. So we'll see what you say to that at the end of this podcast. But we'll start with a question from Michael in Pennsylvania, who writes, in light of Trump's success on Super Tuesday and the fact that Haley has left the race, do you still think endorsements do not matter or affect the election?
So let's back up a little bit. Kim Reynolds, popular governor, endorsed Ron DeSantis. Ron is not the nominee. Chris Sununu, popular governor of New Hampshire, endorsed Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley did not win New Hampshire. Henry McMaster, a popular governor of South Carolina, did endorse Donald Trump, who won South Carolina. So are we to attribute President Trump's victory in South Carolina to the endorsement of Henry McMaster? Or are we to, I think, correctly assume Donald Trump was going to win those three states no matter who endorsed whom? I think with the possible exception of Donald Trump himself, I think his endorsement in Republican primaries does matter, because I think people who are most loyal to him or who follow him most closely would be persuaded to vote for someone who had his stamp of approval or imprimatur, if we can use that word. For most of the rest of us, I mean, the question is, whose opinion do you value so much that it could sway you? Like, I mean, obviously I value your opinion, Mary Langston. If you told me in a local race that you knew someone and you like worked with them or went to school with them and had a high opinion of them, that would matter to me. If you like told me who to vote for in a U.S. Senate race, which you never would, by the way, in South Carolina, as much as I love you, I don't know that it would impact me, because I would be just as familiar with the candidates as you are. So the way I look at endorsements, unless you know what issues are important to me, then how could you like recommend someone to me? If like the most important issue in the world to me is sending no more money to Ukraine, which it's not, by the way, but if it were, I mean, wouldn't you want to know what, whether it was social issues or foreign policy or economic? I think Trump's endorsement matters. there may be others that can move the needle some. There are definitely endorsements that are liabilities. I'm not going to call any names because it would be bad manners. And ironically enough, some of the people whose endorsements would be considered liabilities now were once highly coveted endorsements. But because politics changes, I mean, they're not anymore. I mean, Tim Scott was endorsed by many, many, many of his Senate colleagues. I don't think it helped him. So Trump is kind of a historical phenomenon. I think you can't extrapolate much beyond him. Historically, endorsements can help if you are challenging an incumbent, because it shows vulnerability from the incumbent on behalf of the incumbent. So it can help there. Endorsements may can help in a race between or among candidates that are not well known. If I were to get something in the mail, but I can tell you right now, maybe I'm just poisoned by my own experience. When I ran the first time for district attorney, I think I still have it. There was a fundraising invitation sent out on behalf of the gentleman that I was running against. And the host committee for his fundraiser was every single elected official in the two county circuit, except one. There was one that did not agree to be on his host committee and therefore endorse him for that election. Both of the sheriffs endorsed the other guy running to be the district attorney. And by the way, if any endorsement was going to matter in a DA race, it would be the sheriff's endorsement. Mm-hmm. Both of them endorsed the other guy. And yet the voters, they get to say what they want. We are a participatory democracy. I don't know anyone who cares so little about the vote that so many people sacrifice for, that all it takes is the word of someone that they don't know. Now, look, my mom one time asked me who she should vote for in a race because she assumed that I knew that. Well, I did know him. It was an attorney general race in a primary. And she just said, who should I vote for? Because I know you know him. But when she asked me that, I felt like even more responsibility to say, well, this person you would like for this reason, and this person you would like for that reason, and you're going to have to decide. The fact that the fact that someone I've never met tells me that I should vote for someone else I've never met, I just don't find it to be persuasive. But maybe I'm in the minority, Michael, from the great state of Pennsylvania. I mean, I think Trump was going to win regardless of endorsements. I think his endorsement does move the needle in some races. His track record is not flawless. No one's is. He has endorsed, even recently, he's endorsed some people that you kind of sit there and wonder where that came from. And I don't know that he's like spent a lot of time around them. So I don't know how he vets candidates to decide who to endorse and who not to. Beyond him, I have not seen endorsements. You know, I'll finish with one more because I've already had enough long stories, but I'll finish with one more. I've just been burned so many times on endorsements, so many times. I let someone who was a friend talk me into endorsing a colleague. He was a current member of Congress at the time who had an opponent. He had an opponent in Dallas. And somebody came up to me and said, look, you know, we need you to help the incumbent congressman. He's got a young, charismatic, very well-spoken prosecutor running against him. And I thought, Mary Langston, well, we already got one of them. Why do we need two? So, of course, I endorsed the other guy. And John Ratcliffe wound up winning that race, who will ultimately be one of my pallbearers. So I endorsed his opponent in a congressional race, and it obviously did not matter one bit to the great people of Texas, because they got rid of their incumbent, God rest his soul, and they elected John Lee Ratcliffe. So I just, maybe, if Terry were to say, hey, who should I vote for school board? Maybe it would matter to her, but I'm not even sure about that. I just, no, I don't think they matter unless your name is Trump.
That's such a good story. Thank you for sharing that, Trey. It always makes me laugh to think about
Ratcliffe story.
Yeah.
You know, not to prolong this, but he's such a nice person.
Mm-hmm.
It's awkward when you endorse the other person. I've been on the receiving end of it. I mean, I very, very, very good friend of mine did not endorse me when I ran for Congress. He endorsed my opponent. And, you know, when you win, it's a lot easier to forgive and forget and move on. I remember John Lee coming up to me on the floor of the House, and I was not sure how that conversation was going to go, because I never said a negative word about him. Obviously, I wouldn't do that. I just said, please go vote for Ralph Hall. And he sat beside me and he said, look, I know you were, you know, a big supporter of Ralph Hall's, and he was a great man. He was a great congressman. And I'm sitting there thinking, actually, John, I've talked to you longer in this conversation than I ever talked to Ralph Hall, but keep going. Keep going. He said, but, you know, I really, you know, in time, hopefully we can develop that same kind of relationship and we can become friends. I'm sitting there thinking, I already like you more. I mean, I never had a conversation this long with Ralph. I let somebody talk me into doing it, which I swore to myself I would never do again. And I won't ever do it again. I'm out of that business. I just think God has a sense of humor. Mm-hmm. And the guy that I tried to keep from coming to Congress wound up being my best friend in the House when Timmy left, mm-hmm. and will be a pallbearer. I just think that's a funny story.
It is. It's such a good story. Thank you, Michael, for that question, too. Our next question is from Rodney in North Carolina, who writes, is TikTok truly the threat many Congress members are saying? If so, what is the real threat?
You know, Rodney, I mean, I don't see how it can be a threat. I mean, they're little tiny breath mints in a plastic container, and you open them. So if you're not like rattling them around in church or something, is that what he's asking?
No, not that, but, you know, the social media app.
Not
kind of thing.
Oh, so this is TikTok.
And not a clock.
Okay, I'm thinking TikToks. Okay. I don't know, Rodney. I mean, I got friends whose opinion I value greatly who tell me that China is gathering information on everyone who uses that app, which would not include me, because I couldn't find it with a pack of bloodhounds. I don't know where it is. I don't know how to use it. I know it's extremely popular with people, I guess, your age, Mary Langston.
Mm-hmm, and much
maybe
younger.
My daughter's age.
Mm-hmm, even children.
I know my daughter sends me a lot of TikToks. I'm not 100% sure how to play them or run them or whatever the right phraseology is. I don't have the app, which complicates things a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It was a weird vote. President Trump at the very end said he was opposed to the ban, but I could have sworn, and I may be wrong, I could have sworn that some of his national security advisors, and again, I want to make sure I get this right. I mean, Pompeo obviously was the CIA director. Ratcliffe was the DNI. Robert O'Brien, you know, three people that I have a tremendous amount of respect for on national security matters. I thought they viewed TikTok as a national security threat. I know Mike Gallagher does. Another soon-to-be departing member of Congress that I have a lot of respect for. I think the vote was unanimous, which is unheard of at the committee level. But I also get the politics of it that young people like it. And there's a political price to be paid for taking away something that they like. The threat is, and this is real. I was on House Intel long enough to know this. You better be really careful with products produced by countries that, shall we say, we have a competing interest with. They will collect data. I had a senior level, like the most senior level you can get, law enforcement official in the U.S., advise me to put a piece of tape over the camera on my computer or my iPad. So a foreign entity could not access the camera. I know that we are super, super, super careful about what phones we take overseas when we go on Codells. So would China use TikTok? I don't know. Do they use graduate students to spy on the U.S.? Do they use, I think they do. So you got to balance the threat with the fact that lots of young people. I think the option is you got to sell it or we're going to ban it. It's already banned for federal employees, isn't it? Yeah, it's already banned for federal employees. So the real threat is that China is going to access lots and lots of your information beyond simply which golf instructional videos you watch on TikTok. And China is... you know, the difference between the word opponent, competitor, enemy, there's some nuance there. I would safely say do not have the best interests of the United States consistently in mind. And if there's an app that they are using to hurt, look, there's a reason we don't let young people do lots of other things that they want to do that we think are going to hurt them. And they think it's unfair, and they think they're old enough to make those decisions, and the adults say not yet. Flat-out banning. I mean, do you have the right not to get all John Stuart Mill on people with Odysseus and the sirens, and do you have the right to keep someone from making really poor decisions for himself or herself? That's an age-old question that John Stuart Mill wrote about. I think he wrote about it non-liberty, but I wouldn't swear to it. It was a controversial vote, weird party lines, but we'll see what the Senate does. Threat is real. How do you balance it with the fact that do people have the right to do things that are not in their best interest? Yes. Do people have the right to do things that jeopardize national security? No. That's how I see it.
Well said, Trey, and thank you for answering that question, and thank you, Rodney, for it. Our last question is a sports one.
Can I ask you a question?
Of course, go ahead.
Do you use it? Do you know how to use it?
I did, and then I got really scared about it when I started seeing it in the news lately, so I ended up deleting it.
But I don't mean to sound dumber than I normally am, because I'm authentically pretty dumb. Is it like a platform to share short videos?
Basically, I mean, you can have access to anything. There's good things on there, and then there's very bad things on there. So it really depends on, you know, what's in your feed, what you're looking for. I mean, you have access to so much with it. So that's the dangerous part with young people is, you know, they've not been taught necessarily how to regulate what they watch. And you know this, Trey, what we see kind of stays in our mind. So TikTok is all videos. You know, there are comments and things on TikTok, but the majority of it's videos. So we just have to be really careful with that type of thing.
So they're like short videos. Like if I wanted to post a video of myself doing like a dance routine or something, I would do that on which, by the way, just to put everyone's mind at ease, I'm not going to, but I would do that on TikTok.
It might go viral based off of the way that you answered that, but
I would not do that on YouTube. I would not do that on X. I would not do that on Instagram. I would do that on TikTok.
I mean, you could, but you could do it on all of them. except for TikTok is just really usually shorter videos that are dances that you're trying to recreate that maybe somebody else had done to a popular song. But yeah, dancing's on there. There's videos of how to make things, how to cook things, and then all the negative things as well.
Well, speaking of dance songs, maybe one of these days somebody's going to ask me what my favorite dance song is. Have you ever heard the song The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald?
Well, you have told me that song before, or else I would have never heard it before.
Have you listened to it?
I have. It's been a while, but our listeners should check it out if that's your dance song.
It is the best dance song of all time. The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald by Gordon Lightfoot. They should check it out.
Yeah, right, check it out. Let us know what you think.
Oh, God. It is quite possibly the worst dance song of all time. But, you know, sometimes
quite possibly,
people...
but you just never know. People have different styles about them.
It drives my wife nuts when people ask me something like that. Like, what's your, you know, can you recommend a comedy? And I'll recommend like the saddest movie ever made.
Oh, I know. You used to say Million Dollar Baby or something like that. I don't know.
Well, don't tell all my secrets, but. I liked, you know, people will say, what's your favorite dance song? And I'll say The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, which is just, good Lord.
Not quite that kind of dance song.
I don't know what's wrong with me. Y'all not praying hard enough is the problem, really. Y'all not pray harder.
We'll answer more of your questions when we come back.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week, every week. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
We'll end on a sports one from Judy in Michigan. And she writes, would you be willing to share your thoughts regarding the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship and perhaps speculate on how far the South Carolina team will advance?
Well, the South Carolina part of it's easy. I just think what Lamont Paris has done. I mean, I liked him last year, and they had a losing record. Nobody was talking about South Carolina last year. And they had an NBA caliber player on their team last year. Lamont Paris was not, like, I don't think anyone's first choice. No, well, I say no one's first choice. I don't know. He may have been Ray Tanner's first choice. He wasn't who the media was talking about as the next coach at USC after Frank left. So I could not be more impressed with him. And I don't just mean like the record. If you listen to his interviews, you listen to his press conferences afterwards, he is just like exactly what you would want representing your university and exactly the kind of influence you would want on your players. So I could not be happier for him. I like it when good things happen to good people. He certainly seems like a good person. The fact that he's got us really tied for, I mean, I think because of the tiebreakers, we came in fifth in the SEC, but the reality is we may have been like tied for second. It's just all the tiebreakers didn't break our way, but we were picked last. No one had South Carolina going to the NCAAs, and they may be as high as a fifth seed. So the fact that he got them there, I mean, yeah, obviously I'd love to win first round game. I still remember the old Eddie Fogler days, who's another coach I liked a lot at South Carolina. We lost a couple of games we probably should not have lost in NCAAs. We were really, really highly ranked. May have been a two seed at the time, two seed, three seed, something like that. We lost. I remember that. Coppin State. Oh, that was a sad day for me. But the fact that he's got us there, in terms of competing for the championship, I mean, UConn looks tough. Purdue looks tough. North Carolina, maybe. Duke kind of sort of needs to get it together a little bit, whether Tennessee can make a run. I love Baylor. I love Scott Drew. I've always loved Scott Drew. There's just nothing like March Madness. You know you're going to have upsets. You're going to have these Cinderella stories. I hope the nation gets to see and listen to Lamont Paris. I just, I, I, he just, And I hope some other school doesn't come and steal him away from South Carolina, because we've been great in women's basketball. We're consistently good in baseball. Our women softball team almost won the super regionals. And Shane's going to get our football team where it needs to be. So that leaves men's basketball. And I'm just really, really excited about what Lamont Paris has done. So the fact that he got us to the dance, nobody saw that coming over the summertime, other than maybe him and his players. Nobody saw it.
Well, those are all the questions we have for this week, Trey.
All right. Well, I know that spring is right around the corner, and the time has already changed, so things are looking up. Masters is in the air. Mm-hmm. Better get through a couple of tournaments first, but it's a beautiful time of the year, and then you got March Madness where time goes so fast. But keep your questions coming. I love them. They're thought-provoking, and check out the Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald and tell me if you've ever heard a worse dance song in your entire life. I wouldn't even know how to start dancing to that song.
I don't even think I can spell it.
The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Write it out.
I think the best dance song of all time is a song by Falco called Rock Me Amadeus. At least for my generation, that was probably it.
And that's actually a dance song, or?
Oh, no, yo, no, for sure. Rock Me Amadeus. Go pull that beat up. I'll send it to you.
Okay,
I'll send it to you on TikTok. How's that? I'll go get a TikTok account.
Not the mints or the candy.
I'm sorry that I thought that was Tic Tac. I don't know. I'm old and I don't see good anymore. So I'm so sorry.
No.
Right.
Well, keep sending your questions, and you have a good day and have a wonderful rest of the week, y'all. We hope we'll be back next Thursday. We're planning on it, and we'll see you then.
God willing, we'll see you then. Y'all take care. Have a great week. Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
The Will Cain Show is now dropping 5 episodes a week. Join Fox and Friends weekend host Will Cain as he tackles the latest headlines from his unique perspective, along with thought-provoking interviews with leading figures and live calls from viewers and listeners. Listen wherever you download your favorite podcasts.